Be seated. If you've been worshiping with us for a few weeks, you know that we've celebrated Advent together in a non-traditional way this year. Rather than a slow, reflective approach to Christmas, we jumped right into the thick of things, and every Sunday in Advent, we used a classic Christmas movie to illustrate our sermon themes. We began with Ralphie's wish for a Red Ryder BB gun and tied that in with Elizabeth and Zechariah's desire for a son. Then with Elf, we saw in Buddy's joy and wonder a reflection of Mary's joy as she sang a hymn of praise. With Charlie Brown and Linus, we remembered the true meaning of Christmas. And finally, on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we considered the love that Joseph had for both Mary and for his God, a love so great that he said yes to Jesus despite the decrees of his religious laws. Tonight we finish our series with Dickens' classic A Christmas Carol. Just after the ghost of Jacob Marley, Scrooge's former business partner, appears to Scrooge, he explains why his spirit is restless. "It is required of every man," the ghost returned, "that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death." And he bemoans that he did not understand that any Christian spirit working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. And Scrooge, who is a little undone by it all, rejoins, but you were always a good man of business, Jacob." "Business," cried the ghost, wringing its hands again. "Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business." And so the story begins, and most of you know that it continues with visits from the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. And it ends, well, I can't tell you the end at the beginning. I have loved this story for so long that I didn't expect to encounter anything new in it this year. My mistake. I actually considered two new things related to A Christmas Carol this year. First, I decided that if A Christmas Carol had a theme song, if A Christmas Carol had its own carol, it would be the one we just sang. "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Consider this. "O little town of England, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dream-filled sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets of London shineth the everlasting light of Christ. The hopes and fears of all the years, past, present, and future, are met in thee tonight." Past, present, and future. Just like the Christ. Just like we affirm every week together when we proclaim the mystery of our faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Past, present, future. But there is something else here. Something more subtle, something very important for people of faith to remember: the hopes and fears of all the years, the hopes and fears of past, present, and future are met in thee tonight. I believe that Dickens might just have been humming "O Little Town of Bethlehem" as he worked on this novel. Now, if you check me on the dates, you'll find that Dickens wrote the novel 25 years before the hymn was written. But don't let that deter you when the whole story is about talking ghosts and time travel. And it's just possible that Dickens considered those words, hopes, and fears, and either consciously or unconsciously coupled together these two things in his story, joined Scrooge's hope for redemption with the fearful apparitions. Scrooge's only hope for redemption is to receive and then act upon the scenes played out from his life, past, present, and future. Scrooge's hope lies in the ghosts, hopes, and fears. We've seen that intersection of hopes and fears in all our classic Christmas movies. Ralphie's hope for a BB gun collides with his parents' fear that he'll put his eye out. Buddy the Elf's wish to find his biological father brings fears to Papa Elf, who is afraid Buddy will be disillusioned upon meeting him. Charlie Brown's hopes are all drowned out by his fears of just about everything. And Scott Calvin's hope for his relationship with his son is sometimes overshadowed by his fear that he is not the father that his son needs. And my guess is that some of you sit here tonight trying to reconcile your hopes and fears. You may be thinking, I'm ready to live like a disciple, Jesus, in the way I've learned from you, but your church has worn me out, and I just don't know if I can give it another chance. Or I'm ready to take that step of forgiving my family member. I have great hopes of reconciling, but I'm afraid of being rejected again. I'm starting to believe that your love for me, God, is unconditional, that I am precious in your sight. But I hear voices telling me otherwise, and I'm afraid. You might be feeling hope as you lead with your heart, sharing it with the world, but fearing that it will be broken before it comes back to you. To be human is to know hope and fear, and very often to entertain them at the same time. Think back to the scripture that we heard read tonight. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world be registered, and Joseph went from the town of Nazareth to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was from the house of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Think about all the stories behind this story. Elizabeth and Zechariah desperately hoping for a son, and when the message came to Zechariah as he served in the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Zechariah was troubled and overcome with fear. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John, and he will prepare the people for their Lord." And Mary and Joseph would have grown up with the scriptures and the prophets and would have been expecting the Messiah, would have been hoping for the Messiah. But still, those hopes collided with their fears when they learned they were to be responsible for the birth of that Messiah. The Gospels tell us that the angel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, the Lord has blessed you and is with you." But Mary was very startled by what the angel said. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has shown you grace. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will never end." And we also read, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly, but an angel of the Lord appeared and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." My point is this: it takes a little courage to get to Christmas. It is not all silent night, holy night in Bethlehem. It's not all round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. This story is about the collision of hopes and fears. And we need to listen up, because it's not just the hopes and fears of Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph colliding, but the hopes and fears of all the years. And that means not just the past, but the present and the future too. And the present and the future, like the past, belong to God. And God has gifted them to us, complete with hopes and fears and challenges. Listen to these words from Dorothy Day. "It is no use saying that we are born 2,000 years too late to give room to Christ. Nor will those who live at the end of the world have been born too late. Christ is always with us, always asking for room in our hearts. But now it is with the voice of our contemporaries that he speaks, with the eyes of store clerks, factory workers, and children that he gazes, with the hands of office workers, slum dwellers, and suburban housewives that he gives. It is with the feet of soldiers and tramps that he walks, and with the heart of anyone in need that he longs for shelter, and giving shelter or food to anyone who asks for it or needs it is giving it to Christ. No room at the end. Is there room here?" "Business," cried the ghost, wringing its hands again. "Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. I began this sermon by minding Marley's business, and I will end it by minding my own business, and yours, of course. What is the business of the preacher on Christmas Eve? What is the job of the preacher on Christmas Eve? To stay out of the way. To stay out of the way of the songs and the prayers and the stories, and let God work mystery and magic through them. To stay out of the way. And what is the job of everyone else on Christmas Eve? To put yourself in the way. To put yourself between every human being, every living creature, and the forces that would cause them harm. To put yourself between the immigrant woman with her three children and the authorities who would send her back without a fair hearing. To put yourself between our black and brown siblings and the racism that is both our past and our future if we don't own it in the present. To put yourself between the unsheltered men and women living on Austin's streets and the loss of hope and dignity. And that is your job, your business, not only on Christmas Eve, but always. So that you can say, like Scrooge, "I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. The hopes and fears of all the years. The hopes and fears of all the people are met in thee tonight.